All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome out to. Wow, that's the first time I've actually gotten like a really good response. I wasn't even expecting it. That was weird. All right. Normally, you just say good morning, and everybody just, falls over asleep. So, all right. Thank you. So, my name is Travis Wright. I'm a program manager on the System Center engineering team. I've been on the team now for a couple of years. This is my ninth MMS, and this is definitely my favorite conference. Glad to be here. This is my last session for the week, so I'm excited about that. This session is about the System Center data warehouse and reporting that we ship with Service Manager. And this session is an interesting one because we're going to start out at a really high level for people that have no idea what I'm talking about. And we're going to go all the way down to XML editing and SQL coding. All right, so it's kind of a 100 to 400 and back level session. All right, so if part of the session seems like it's too easy for you and you've heard it before, just hang on. We'll get to some new meaty stuff for you. If it seems like it's just too hard, hang on. We'll get back to the easy stuff. All right, so how many people in here would say that they can edit XML efficiently? Okay. How many people would say they can code in T-SQL efficiently? Okay, so about half on both. That's good. All right, so, and we'll show you some tools that you can use that don't require either of those. So, all right. So let's just start out with very high level 100. What is the data warehouse and why did we do it? All right, so the data warehouse has a few different purposes. One is to provide an offline data store for data. So we want to make sure that our online database, in this case the Service Manager database, is not impacted by people running reports, because that can be a fairly processor-intensive operation and use up a lot of memory and things like that. So we want to separate that out so it's not impacting our operations. The data warehouse is also used for long-term storage. So we want to make sure that the online database has as good of performance as possible by archiving off the data that we don't need for our kind of day-to-day operations to the data warehouse for long-term storage. It's also designed to be a high-volume storage. Okay, so whereas an OLTP database, like the Service Manager database, is designed for kind of lower-volume relational storage, the data warehouse is designed in such a way that we can have very high-volume storage. So you can actually hook up multiple Service Manager management groups to a single data warehouse, and you can store up to 5 management groups, is what we've tested to. You can store up to 5 management groups worth of data in a single data warehouse. So definitely high volume there. It's also designed in a way that's optimized for fast querying for reporting. Okay, so unlike an OLTP database, we kind of shred the data apart and store it in a format which makes for faster reporting. And this data warehouse is also extensible. Okay, so just like the Service Manager CMDB database is extensible, you can add new classes and relationships and things like that to the database. The data warehouse is also extensible. We want to make sure that if you extend the CMDB to manage new types of things, like my classic example here at MMS in Vegas is a slot machine. Right, so if you're managing slot machines, that's not something we ship out of the box. You would have to extend the CMDB to store that. But you also want to be able to extend the data warehouse to store that for reporting purposes. So now what I want to do is I just want to kind of show you the data warehouse architecture. Okay, and I've got this gigantic architecture diagram. It's a little scary when you first look at it. It's huge. This is a Visio diagram that's available as part of the Service Manager Job Aids package. Okay. So this is the architecture of Service Manager here. And then there's a bunch of diagrams here that show you how different parts of Service Manager work. What we're going to do is we're going to zoom in here on this part of the diagram. So this part of the diagram, we have here the Service Manager database server and the Service Manager database. And then you have the Service Manager management server, and you've got the data warehouse management server over here. Okay, so the data warehouse management server and its associated databases is actually its own independent management group. So if you deploy Service Manager plus the data warehouse, you have how many management groups? Pop quiz, two. All right, you have two. So your first management group is this one over here, the Service Manager management group, where you've got one or more service manager management servers, and the service manager database. Then you also have this management group over here, which is the data warehouse management server and the SQL server that's hosting this database called DW Staging Config. DW Staging and Config is a model-based database just like the service manager database and the operations manager databases. Okay, it's the same exact type of database schema, all the same stored procedures, everything. And the DW Staging and Config database is where we store, first of all, the configuration for the data warehouse. So what should the grooming intervals be, when should the jobs run, that type of information. And we also store data that comes from Service Manager, and we put it in there first. That's the staging database. There's a couple other databases here that we provide out of the box. The first one is this DW repository database. And then down here, we have three other databases, which are the data marts. So you have DW data mart, OMDW data mart, and CMDW data mart. And that's where we store operations manager and configuration manager data. Now, to move all this data around and do what we need to do, this all runs using the workflow engine that is common amongst service manager and operations manager. So we're talking about things like the data access service, the management service, and so on. Now, the management service runs these four jobs. Or sorry, these jobs here. There's more than four. Okay. The first one is the MP sync job. The MP sync job is responsible for taking the management packs that are imported into Service Manager and syncing those over to the data warehouse management group. And once those management packs get there, then we've got some deployment jobs that deploy out the reports that are contained in those management packs to SQL reporting services. We've got another job that deploys the schema that's defined in those management packs. So if there's a new dimension or fact, we'll get into the definition of these later, that extends the schema of the DW databases, and that job is responsible for extending that schema based on the declarations in the management pack. And then we have these three jobs that are responsible for extract, transform, and load, or ETL. So the first job will extract the data out of the Service Manager database and store it in the DW Staging and Config database. So it goes from here into here first. That's the extract job. The transform job then takes the data out of DW Staging and Config and transforms it into a dimensional model and stores it in the repository database, DW repository. Then the last job is the load job, and that takes the data out of DW repository and dumps it into one of the, there's actually multiple load jobs, and it'll load it into the appropriate DataMart database. And then we actually report off of the DataMart databases. So down here, you can see that we've got SQL reporting services, and when you deploy the data warehouse, we create three data sources on SQL reporting services, and those are configured to point to the DW DataMart, OMDW DataMart, and CDW DataMart. That's how we go and get the data to actually show in the reports. So let's take a look at what this looks like inside of SQL now. So this is the SQL server that I'm running my demo environment on. And we can see here that I've got the Service Manager database down here. And up here I've got the DW Staging and Config database, the DW repository, and DW DataMart. So let's just kind of look at the schema here. If I expand out Service Manager and I look at the tables, and I scroll down here, I'll see a table. Let's take an example of let's take an example of the System Work Item Incident class. System Work Item Incident. So here's the System Incident Work Item class, and it has these columns as defined on it. This is where we store all of the incidents. Now, when we bring the data over into DW Staging and Config, because that's also a model-based database, it has the exact same table structure, except it's in this other schema called inbound. So we go to inbound, and you can see that we have a system, a lot of tables here, system work item, incident table here. Okay? And this has the exact same columns on it, right? Okay, and then we'd go through the transformation process and we start to bring it into the DW repository. So if we go and look at that, we're now taking the data apart because it's part of the transform process, and we're going to store this in the incident dimension table. So here's incident dim, and you can see that it has essentially the same set of columns on it. Okay? So at this point, the data is in the repository database, and that's where we keep the long-term storage. And then we load it into the data mart, and the data mart has the same table on it. It has a incident dim table on it. Okay, so there's the incident dim table. You can see it has the same set of columns on it. Okay, so that's where we store the data inside of the DW data mart. So that's kind of how things work. That's how the data flows from Service Manager into the data warehouse. Now, we also have, well, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll talk about that in a minute. All right, so let's go back to the slides now and keep going here. So the data warehouse has some new features in it in Service Manager 2012. First of all, the goal of this particular release of the data warehouse was to completely replace System Center Reporting Manager. Anybody remember that? Few people, all right. How many people actually deployed it and used it? Wow, okay, we have two of the, or four, looks like about four of the 80 customers or so that we had that claimed to have used that. So the idea with this data warehouse is to completely replace what we originally shipped with System Center Reporting Manager. So that means we're going to take data out of SM, OM, and CM, bring it all together into one data warehouse, create cubes that go across that data, reports that go across that data, and so on. And as part of that, one of the things we did is we created a new direct connection from CM and OM into the data warehouse. So in 2010, any data that you wanted to store in the data warehouse had to go through the Service Manager CMDB database first. And that's fine for things like configuration items that you want to have in your CMDB anyway. But some data like alerts or power management data, software update compliance data, that type of thing doesn't necessarily need to be in the CMDB. In fact, it's just going to mostly bloat it. So we created a way for you to insert that data directly into the data warehouse, and we provide a couple of connectors out of the box, two operations manager and configuration manager, to bring in that type of data directly to the data warehouse. And that same interface that we use to bring that data into the data warehouse can also be used by you, by our partners, et cetera, to insert data directly into the data warehouse. So in that sense, the System Center Data Warehouse is really more than the System Center Data Warehouse. It's more like the IT Data Warehouse. Because it's extensible, you can extend it to store whatever data you want in there. And then you can create your own custom connectors to go and get data out of whatever systems you have and jam it into the data warehouse. And then you can cube it up along with the other data that Service Manager already has in the data warehouse. Now, another big thing that we added in the 2012 version was OLAP cubes. So OLAP cubes are a way to cube up the data and make it easier to analyze by slicing and dicing by different what we call dimensions and facts. And this is kind of the way that we talk about data when we get into cubes and that kind of thing. And so we'll get into this a little bit more in detail. But the real value here is not the cubes themselves. It's what you can do with those cubes. So you can use Microsoft's BI tools as well as other third-party BI tools that are designed to work with cubes to analyze the data. And one of the easiest tools to use is Excel. You can hook up an Excel pivot table to a cube, and then you can browse around and slice and dice the data in a way that makes sense for you to analyze that data. So we'll see actually a demo of that here in just a minute. So another thing that's new in the 2012 releases is our kind of scale out story. So in 2010, you could put your data warehouse on one server, and it would bring in data from Service Manager or from Operations Manager and Configuration Manager through Service Manager. Now we've got these direct connections from Operations and Configuration Manager to the data warehouse. And you can also scale out by placing the DW staging and config and DW repository on one SQL server and put your data marts on a different server. You can actually take each of your data marts and put them on a different SQL server if you want. And now because we have cubes, we have SQL Server Analysis Services required. and your SQL Server Analysis Services instance can be on the same server that you have your databases, or it could actually be a different server. And then you've got, of course, your reporting services, and that can be on the same server or a different server. So you can sort of scale this out to meet your requirements. Now, in terms of reporting, we leverage the Microsoft BI stack. So we've got SQL Reporting Services as our platform. And you can either create your own reports using the Microsoft report authoring tools, so things like Business Intelligence Development Studio or Report Builder. And you can also customize the reports that we provide out of the box. So you can grab one of our reports, open it up in one of those types of tools, and customize it, and then save it as your own and deploy it out to SQL Reporting Services. Because we're built on SQL Reporting Services, we get some other advantages, like the opportunity to schedule reports for delivery. Those can be delivered either via email, or we can publish them out to a SharePoint site or a file share, and people can just pick those up. You can also create what are called linked reports. So you can go into a report that we provide out of the box, configure some of the parameters. Like, let's say you want to have a report which shows you all the incidents that have happened in the last week, but only for the printing issues. Okay, so you take that report, you configure those parameters, and then you save that report as what we call a linked report. And then anybody can go to that linked report and run that report, and it's already pre-configured with those parameters. So you could call it the printing incidents that happened last week report. You can also create a favorite report, which is the same concept, except that it's only visible to you. So linked reports are visible to everybody. Favorite reports are only visible to you. And we've done some kind of fancy work on top of SQL Reporting Services to create a rich user interface using gauges and charts and things like that, as well as a custom parameter header. And I'll show you what that looks like here in a minute. But that custom parameter header is really all about making it easier to interact with the parameter controls. So if any of you have used the SQL Reporting Services browser interface for configuring parameters, it's a little clunky. And so we've created a better experience for that inside of the Service Manager console. So you can actually access the reports in Service Manager in the console itself directly, or you can access the reports through the SQL Reporting Services browser interface. Okay. So let's do kind of an overview of what reporting looks like in Service Manager. All right, so first I want to start out and take a look at the data warehouse workspace in the Service Manager console. And we'll look here first at the cubes view. So these are the cubes that we provide out of the box. We've got a software update cube, a power management cube, a work items cube, which contains things like incidents. We've got configuration items cube. We've got the service catalog cube, which contains service catalog content and service requests. And we have a change in activity management cube. We also provide cubes with some of our other solutions, like the cloud services process management pack, the governance risk and compliance management pack, and some of our partners, like Provence, that provides a solution for asset management, also provides cubes. Those cubes are all encapsulated inside of a management pack. When you import that management pack into Service Manager, it gets synced over to the data warehouse, and all the schema extensions happen, the cube processing starts, it all just kind of works. You don't have to actually go and do that type of thing manually. You just have to import the management pack. Next, what we'll look at down here is the reporting workspace. Now, the reporting workspace has a number of different folders here that contain reports. And this is actually just a reflection of what we have over in SQL Reporting Services. So if we were to go to SRS here, we can see that there's a top-level folder called System Center, another folder inside of that called Service Manager, and then we have folders for activities, change, config, problem, incident, etc. And that's what we see here, that same folder structure. And then inside of each of those folders, we see the reports. So like here's the incident folder. Here's a list of reports that we have. Incident analysis report, and here's incident analyst report, I guess is what it was. So we just reflect over what's in SQL Reporting Services, and we display that here. And then the user can just select a report that they want to run and click Run Report. And I've already run a report ahead of time here. So here's a report that I ran. And you can see here that this is our custom parameter header that I was talking about earlier. And this provides for much easier manipulation of the parameters because we can specify dates easier. We can do relative dates. Over here, we can see that we've got a custom control here that allows us to select list values. Okay, so things like incident classification, we can select that. And anytime, like for example, somebody goes and adds a new list value to the incident classification, that'll show up in here automatically. So that just kind of flows through the whole system. It'll show up, so you don't have to go and tweak that. It just happens, right? So it's kind of magic. This is just an example of a report that we provide out of the box. Got a chart, got a table, that kind of thing. Pretty standard SQL reporting services stuff, except for that custom parameter header that I mentioned. And then you can see over here on the right that we have our two links to save as a favorite report or save as a linked report, as I was mentioning earlier. Now, one thing that's new in Service Manager 2012 is the concept of analysis libraries. So you can see here that I have a couple of workbooks inside of this analysis library. And the way that I did this is I went over here to the Data Warehouse workspace, I went to the analysis libraries view, and I configured a analysis library called analysis library, and I specified a UNC path to some folder on my network, some file share, okay? So in this case, that file share is right here. Got whack whack scsm/analysis library. And you can see that I have these two Excel workbooks here. And those are the same workbooks that show up here inside of the Service Manager console in the analysis library that's here in the console. So this is just reflecting over whatever's in that file share. And we use standard file system security to control who has access to read and write those files on that share. And you can have multiple analysis libraries. They could point to the UNC path of a SharePoint document library, so that if you put the Excel workbook out there, people can either access it through SharePoint, or they can access it through the Service Manager console, or they can get to it through the file share. So no matter how you put it out there, it's just out there. Now, once you've got these out there, then you can pop open these workbooks, and they're already connected up to the cube. So part of the connection to the cube is stored in the workbook itself. And then when the workbook launches, it goes out to the cube, if it's available, and it refreshes the data and displays it. Now, in this case, I've got sort of a representation of a dashboard here. And this dashboard is really just three pivot charts that are connected to pivot tables that are connected to the cubes. All right, so I'll just show you kind of a quick example of how we create this type of thing. So if I go over here now to the Data Warehouse workspace, and I go to the cubes view. And this particular view takes a second to load for some reason. All right, and then let's go and look at, let's look at the service catalog cube. Now, this is one way you can do it, is you can go to the cube and you can launch Excel from there. Or you can just launch a new Excel workbook and you can connect up to the cube from Excel. So in this case, I'm just going to select to analyze cube in Excel. This is going to launch Excel for me and create a connection to that cube for me automatically. I don't have to do anything. It just is going to pop this up, and it'll be connected to the cube. Okay, and it drops a pivot table in here, and it's connected up to the cube for me. And so now I can go in here, and I can say, okay, I want to take a look at things that are related to, actually, the service request dimension. You can see that we've got a bunch of different dimensions and things like that in this list here. So you can kind of filter down what's available here in this list. Okay? So now that I've done that, I've got a series of what we call measures here that allow me to choose what type of data I want to look at. So first of all, I want to look at the service request dimension count. So this is the count of service requests that we have in the data mart. Right now, we've got 2,648. And then I can start to slice and dice this data by dimensions and facts. So for example, I might want to take a look at maybe service requests by area. Okay, so I would go in here, I'd select the service request area value, and boom. It just slices it all out, and I can see how many service requests I have by area. And I can keep adding to this list. So if I also wanted to show it by priority, I just check off another box. So now it's grouped first by the area and then by the priority. So in this particular case, it looks like a lot of the service requests, because it's demo data, don't have a priority set. But you can see here, for example, that of these client area service requests, 1,027 of them were medium, and 52 of them don't have a priority defined. Right? So if this is just demo data, you know, this gets better if it's actually real data. But you kind of get the idea of how we can do this, right? So, and then it's really easy to chart this stuff. So if I wanted to take this now, hold on. I want to do the area and turn this off. Okay, so now let's say I wanted to take this and I want to turn it into a pivot chart. So I can go to here and I can add in a pivot chart and choose what type of chart I want to show. So let's do a pie chart in this case, and boom, there you go. I got a pie chart of all my service requests by area. Easy, right? Now if I want to add in another pivot chart, I can do that. I just add another pivot table in here, add another pivot chart, and I start to create what looks like a dashboard like this one. Okay, then I can take this Excel workbook and I can post it out to the SharePoint document library. I can email it to somebody. Okay, so when you email a workbook to somebody, even if they can't access the data mart currently, like maybe they're on the plane or something like that, it'll still have the last cache of data in the workbook so that they can see whatever the state was at the moment that you saved it and sent it to them. Right? So having these Excel workbooks like this, it makes it really easy to collaborate. Okay, because I can put this out onto this file share or SharePoint document library. People can open that up, they can tweak it, save it back as the same file, they can do file save as. You know, you can email it around. It's a very flexible way to analyze data using these pivot charts hooked up to the cubes. Okay, I think that's all I wanted to show regarding that. So let's go back to the PowerPoint. Okay, now we're going to get into the heavier stuff, all right? So we're going to talk about some concepts here to start out with as far as the data warehouse goes. So data warehouses are organized by dimensions and facts. So this is kind of the traditional star schema data warehouse modeling, for those of you that are familiar with that. And the way to think of it is that every class that you define is equivalent to a dimension. Okay, so if I have, for example, an incident class, then I can also have an incident dimension. And an incident class has properties on it, like the title, the priority, et cetera. And a dimension also has those same properties. A fact is something that's a piece of data that you want to track about the relationship between dimensions. So for example, I may have a dimension called incident, and I may have a dimension called user, and then I might have a fact which keeps track of the relationship of who the assigned user is for each incident. Okay, so the way that works is that, you know, you think about in the data model, we have things like classes, and those are dimensions, and we also have things like relationship types, incident assigned to user, and that becomes what we call a relationship fact inside of the data warehouse. And so by mapping the data warehouse model to the data model that we have in Service Manager, it becomes kind of this one-to-one of classes to dimensions, relationship types to relationship facts. And then we also have things like what we call an outrigger. So an outrigger is something like the incident classification list that you have. That can become what we call an outrigger. So if I've got printing, hardware, software, whatever might be in my list there, that becomes an outrigger in the data warehouse. Okay, now the nice thing about this is that we simplify this. The data model, if you look at it, is pretty complex. Those of you that might have looked at the Visio diagram I did of the data model will know that there's lots and lots of classes inside a service manager and lots of relationship types and so on. But when we conform that to the dimensional model, we actually simplify it a bit. So just as an example, there's actually multiple different types of incidents. There's kind of the standard incident, and then there's like a desired configuration management incident, and there's an operations manager incident. And we kind of flatten that all out when it goes into the data warehouse. Okay, so it's also possible to extend the data warehouse, as I mentioned earlier. So if Microsoft ships a dimension called incident and a class called incident, then if you come along and you add some new property to that, let's say you add a property called cost center, you want that same property to show up on the incident dimension in the data warehouse too, right? Because you want to be able to report on it. So you can take the dimension that we ship out of the box for incident, and you can extend it to have your new cost center property on it. Okay? And you can also create your own dimensions and facts in your model. So again, like going back to the example of a slot machine, if I create a slot machine class, I want to create a slot machine dimension. If I create a relationship type called slot machine maintained by user, I want that to be a relationship fact. So I can extend the data warehouse to store that additional data. And you can have your facts that you define refer to dimensions that we ship out of the box. Okay? So in that example is a good one, right, where we ship the user class out of the box and the user dimension out of the box. But you could create a new dimension called slot machine. You could create a new fact called slot machine maintained by user that actually points to the user dimension that we ship out of the box. So now let's talk a little bit about cubes. Okay, so the nice thing about cubes is that they're also model driven. Okay, so normally creating a cube is a big development exercise. It takes a lot of work to figure out how to do cubes. In Service Manager, in the management pack schema, creating a cube is a matter of writing a few lines of XML telling us what it is that you want to have in the cube. And the XML that you write simply points to existing things in the data model. And we'll see what this kind of looks like here in a minute. But you just simply declare that cube in management pack XML, and we'll take care of provisioning that cube for you in the data warehouse. And we'll also we'll take care of processing the cube, keeping it up to date, maintaining it. All of that stuff just happens for you automatically. You don't even need to worry about it. You just write the cube XML, and we'll do the rest. Okay. So let's talk about some of the management pack XML that you would create in order to extend the data warehouse. So first of all, you'd want to create a dimension. So up here, I have a couple of examples of a dimension declaration in management pack XML. The first one is, this is literally out of our management packs that we ship out of the box. Okay, so this is what the declaration of an incident dimension looks like. We specify an ID for our dimension. Okay, it could be anything, doesn't matter. We specify accessibility. Those of you that are familiar with management pack authoring, you know that this means that it can be either public or internal. If it's internal, that means that other management packs cannot reference this dimension. If it's public, then other management packs can reference this dimension. And then we point to the target, and the target is the class. Okay, so we're creating here an incident dimension, and that is for the incident class. And then we indicate hierarchy support. And hierarchy support has three different options. Include extended class properties, include derived class properties, and exact. So let's talk about what these mean in reverse order. Okay, so let's start with exact. If we declare that our hierarchy support is exact, then we're going to specify exactly which properties of the incident class we want to include in our dimension. So let's say the incident class has 30 properties defined on it. We actually don't want that many properties in our dimension. We just want 5. We can tell which 5. We want priority, title, urgency, impact, and classification. Okay? Include extended class properties means include all of the properties that are defined on the incident class right now. And if anybody ever extends the incident class, then include any properties that are added to that class in the future. And include derived class properties means include the incident class properties, all of those, and if anybody ever derives their own custom incident class from the incident class, then any properties that they define on that also include those in the incident dimension. All right? So creating a dimension is really easy. It's one line of XML. You point to the class, you're done. Pretty straightforward. Okay, the next thing is a relationship fact. So a relationship fact is also fairly easy to declare. It's, again, just a couple of lines of XML. We define an ID for the relationship fact. We define the accessibility, same thing as we saw before. And then we specify the domain. Okay, now the domain tells the data warehouse where to store your data, which data mart to put it in. And so we have a enumeration list that's stored in one of the base management packs that defines a number of these domains. And so you would just include your relationship fact with one of the domains that we've provided out of the box. So things like, in this case, instance management. Okay, so this is going to end up in the DW Datamart database. Time grain tells us what granularity we want to have for keeping this relationship data in the data warehouse. It can be daily, hourly, monthly, etc. And then source type is where we point to the class that's at the source end of the relationship type. And then we tell it what the source dimension is. So in this case, the relationship type that you see down there, work item assigned to user, the source class for that relationship type is system.workItem. And the target of that relationship type is system.domain.user. Okay? And so here on the source dimension, this is where we're saying the source class in this case, which is system.workItem, the corresponding dimension for that class is workItemDim. And the corresponding class for system.domain.user is userDim. So that's how we define a relationship back. Just a couple of lines of XML. Obviously, you need to understand how the data model looks in order to do this kind of thing. So to help you with that, there's a big Visio diagram that you can grab that shows you all the classes, all the properties on those classes, and all the relationship types. And there's also another schema Visio diagram that shows you all the dimensions that we ship out of the box. All right, so the next thing we want to do is define a cube. So to define a cube, the first thing we do is just simply declare the cube. We give it an ID. And then we're going to put some content inside of that, and that's what we'll look at next. So in this case, we ship out of the box this System Center work items cube. Inside of this cube, we have what we call measure groups. And a measure group tells the data warehouse what the scope of data is that we want to include in the cube. So in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to tell it which fact tables we want to include in the cube. So in this case, we've got the work item assigned to user fact, okay, which is what we saw a couple screens earlier. And the datedim alias for that is work item assigned to user datedim. Okay, all we're doing is telling the data warehouse, look, we want to take the work item assigned to user fact, and we want to include that in our cube. And what the data warehouse is going to do is it's going to be smart. Okay, it's going to say, oh, okay, you've defined that fact that you want to have that in your cube. So I'm going to look at the endpoints of that fact. So in this case, the endpoints of that fact are the incident dim and the user dim. And so it's going to include the incident dim and the user dim and the work item assigned to user fact in this cube, just by the declaration of this one line right here. Okay, so the data warehouse is smart. It knows how to traverse over the model and figure this kind of stuff out. Okay, then we've got this concept of substitutions. All right, now this gets a little weird, so bear with me here. So at the data model, we have things that are defined at a really abstract level. So for example, we have the system work item class. And things like system.workItem.incident and system.workItem.changeRequest and problem and so on, they all derive from system.workItem. And there's a there's a relationship type, as we've discussed, that exists between system work item and system.domain.user. And that relationship type is called work item assigned to user. And all of the other work item classes, like incident, problem, change request, et cetera, inherit that relationship type. And so what happens is if we create a fact like what we saw here before, if we create a fact like this, and then we include it in a measure group like this, then what it's going to do is it's going to bring in all of the work items that are related to a user over the assigned to user relationship. But if you remember, we defined this, so we may want to create a new measure group here called incident assigned to user. Okay, so in this case, we don't want to include all the work items in this measure group. We want to include only incidents, because it's called incident assigned to user. So what we can do is we can do what's called a substitution. When we do a substitution, what we're saying is we're going to take a look at the work item dimension. That's the target dimension. And we're going to take a look at the replacement dimension. So what we're going to do is we're going to replace the work item dimension with the incident dimension, so that we're only getting incidents instead of all the work items. And then the relationship is work item assigned to user, and the relationship endpoint in this case is the source, which is the incident dimension. Okay, so that way, what we're creating here is a new measure group that will only contain incidents instead of all work items. All right, a little bit complicated, but will come in handy later if you get into all this. Now, the other thing we can define is we can define what we call actions. So when somebody's analyzing the data in Excel or in other places like in our BI tools, like if you had a decomposition tree in SharePoint and so on, you can define these actions declaratively in Management Pack XML, and then we'll take care of doing the right thing inside of the cube so that people can actually do actions like drill through. So somebody could be looking at a list of, in this case, incidents, and they could see on the number of computers that are there, and when they double-click on that, it'll take them through to a list of the computers that are listed as the affected computers for that incident. So you can actually declaratively define that in Management Packs as well. Okay, then we've got measures. Okay, and measures are what we kind of, we saw that earlier in the Excel workbook where I was working, where I had a count of the service requests. Well, there's other types of measures we might want to have as well. So the example that I have here is, first of all, we create a named calculation that is the number of incidents that are resolved. And the number of incidents is resolved. What we do is we take a look at the incident dimension that's in our cube, and we count up the number of incidents that are in the status of resolved or closed. And if it's resolved or closed, then we add 1. If it's not, then we add 0. And then we take that named calculation and we make a measure out of it, which is what you see down here below, where we add up all the 1s. Okay? And then we have this measure now called resolved incidents, and somebody can go and check that off in the cube, and it'll drop in the measure of the number of incidents that are in the resolved status, or closed in this case, right? Okay, and so this uses what we call what's called MDX, which is a special syntax language for analysis services that tells SQL Server how to calculate this type of thing. So definitely very, very powerful for those of you that have that skill set. Now we can also define KPIs. So a KPI is something that we want to have sort of a red light, green light indicator on. So in this case, we've got an example here of the number of incidents that are meeting an SLA. So we've defined a measure ahead of time that's the number of incidents that are meeting SLA, and there's probably some big complicated MDX that figures out whether an incident is meeting its SLA or not. And then we can specify a goal for that. So we want to have, in this case, incidents meeting SLA as a percentage-based measure. And so we have a goal of having 90% of our incidents have their SLAs met, and we have a yellow threshold of 70%. And then we indicate the direction. So up is better, right? The higher, the better. So we indicate the direction is up. And then we can indicate these status graphics, which will give a hint to things like SharePoint and Excel to use those little green circle, yellow triangle types of icons to indicate the status of how things are going. So just by declaring this in Management Pack XML, that just lights up in Excel and SharePoint. Okay, so now let's take a look at some more demo stuff. Okay. So first of all, I want to start out with showing you some SQL queries. Okay, so let's take a look at, let's start with a new query that's just super simple. Okay, so let's do select star from incident dim. Okay, so this is going to show us all of the incidents that are in the incident dimension table. Actually, I'm being a bad person here. I really should be using the views. Okay, best practice. Use the views, not the tables. Okay, you get essentially the same data, but you're protected from us ever changing the schema under the covers. Right? So always use the views, don't use the tables. Okay, so here's all the incidents that exist in the system. Now let's say we want to get a little bit fancier, though. And we want to look at the incidents by classification. Okay, so now I'm going to show you how to start to join tables. So in this case, what we want to do is we want to get a list of the incident classifications out and display the number of incidents for each classification. So what we do is we go to the strings table, and this is where we store the localized text for things like enumeration values, list values, if you will, right? So in this case, we have a classification list. It's got a bunch of values on it. Each of those values has a localized display name. That's stored on this table, which is aliased as strings, which is really coming off of this view right here. Okay, and then we're going to count up the number of incidents, and we're going to select this from the incident dim view. And we're going to join the incident classification view. So if we go and take a look at what this looks like. Okay, so there's our incident classifications. You can see a list there. And then we've got incident classification ID right here. And if we were to look at the incident dimension table, you will see that there is a, somewhere in here, incident classification ID column. So this is the effectively the foreign key of the incident classification dimension table in here. And now what we're doing is we're simply joining these two together. So we're going to join the incident dimension with the incident classification dimension, and we're going to join that on the classification ID column in both tables. And then we're going to also join on the display string table to get the display string for each of those incident classifications. And we do that by joining on the classification table enum type ID column and the base managed entity ID column on the display string dim. Okay, and then we're just doing a standard where clause here, and because we're speaking English in this session, we're going to go and get the English display strings for each of these classifications, and then we group it by those classifications. Okay, so people ask me all the time, well, how do I do this localization stuff? Well, this is how to do it. How do I figure out, how do I group things by classification or by priority or whatever? Well, this is how you do it, right? So you got to think about things like these lists, like classification, urgency, impact, things like area. Those are all stored on another dimension table. Those are the outrigger dimensions. So you have to join to get that type of information. Let's take a look at another example. This is incidents assigned to user. So here we've got a list of users, the display name of those users, and the count of incidents that are assigned to each of them. So in this case, we're going to query the incident dim and the user dim, and we're going to join those together. So we're going to grab the user's display name, and we're going to count up the incidents. And we're going to join on the work item assigned to user fact table, well, in view, okay? And so if we were to look at this table, we can see that we have columns in here for work item assigned to user, dim key, and then the work item dim key. So this is a table that joins together the work item dim and the user dim. So this is the work item ID right here, and this is the user ID. And so we join these two things together on the work item assigned to user fact view. And we just point to the work item dim key and the incident dim key. That's how we join the incident dimension to the work item assigned to user fact. And then we join the user dim with the work item assigned to user view as well. And that's how we kind of join across those three tables. So we've got the incident dim, we've got work item assigned to user fact, and user dim. We join those three tables together, and then we simply group the incidents by the user's display name. Okay, so that's how we traverse relationships in order to kind of work over the model and do this kind of thing as well. All right, now let's take a look at some management pack XML. Where am I? Okay, so what I've defined here in this management pack, for those of you that might have attended one of my sessions earlier this week, is I've created a new class called Slot Machine. And the Slot Machine class has these properties on it called Slot Machine ID, Money Consumption Factor, Quantity of Flashing Lights, and the Location. So in order to declare the, and then I defined a relationship type called Slot Machine Maintained by User. So in order to declare what I need to do to get this data into the data warehouse, I go down here to the warehouse section, and I create a dimension element and a relationship fact element. And the dimension element, as we saw earlier, simply has an ID, an accessibility, hierarchy support, and it points to my slot machine class. Done. One line of XML, I've got a dimension. So now my data is going to automatically start flowing from Service Manager into the data warehouse for my slot machines. To declare a relationship fact, very similarly, I declare a relationship fact element here. I give it an ID. I specify the source dimension is my slot machine dim, which is declared up here. My source type, in this case, is a slot machine class. I specify the time grain as daily, accessibility public. And I store it in the configuration management domain, which ensures that that data will flow into the DW data mart. So again, just very simple, couple lines of XML here. And then I declare a relationships element inside of there that says that we want to use the slot machine maintained by user relationship type, which we have up here, and that the target dimension of that is the user dimension. Okay, so two lines of XML, I get a relationship fact. I declare those two things, boom, all that data that I extended the service manager data model with now is just going to automatically flow into the data warehouse and will be available for reporting. Okay? Now, there's no tools for this other than Visual Studio. Okay? There's no, like, authoring tool that allow you to do this using some kind of GUI, because this is really more of a dev exercise, so we haven't really created any tools around this. But we do want to make it easier for developers. So we've got the new Visual Studio authoring extensions that some of you may have heard about. And this is a add-in that you can put into Visual Studio that makes it easier for you to author management packs as a developer in Visual Studio. Or if you're an adventurous IT pro, you can use it as well. All right, so if we go in here, this gives us support for IntelliSense, so sort of the type-ahead concept. So if I'm inside of a management pack, I can open up an element and I can start to browse around what types of stuff I can create. So I may want to create a warehouse element, and then Visual Studio is smart enough to know that inside of a warehouse element, I can have a dimensions element. And inside of there, I can have a dimension. And then it starts to give me hints about, okay, what are the properties that I can put on there? So I might have accessibility, and then it knows what types of values are appropriate for that. So this is going off of the management pack XSD. And then I could do, you know, things like hierarchy support and include extended class properties and so on, right? So that makes it a little bit easier for developers to do this. So this is, I think it's supposed to release this week. So be watching for an announcement on that. I'll put it out on the Service Manager blog. And you can go and download that. It's a free add-in for Visual Studio. And we'll continue to develop this Visual Studio authoring extensions to make it easier to do inserting of code snippets and things like that. And in particular, I want to have some code snippets that we can insert for data warehouses. So you can just sort of right-click on your project here, say add new item, and then you can see that we have some code snippets here for other types of management pack elements. And what I want to do is I want to get some in here for the data warehouse. It makes it easy. You can just select a dimension code snippet, for example, and it'll just drop it in there, and then you can just add in the values that you need. Okay. Okay, now I want to show you one more thing here. And that's this. Okay. So this is the Service Manager Service Catalog. It's the self-service portal that has the service catalog on it. And this is based on a SharePoint site. And what I've done to this site is I've extended it with a new sub-site under it based on the performance point site template. And that allows me to kind of start to create a BI site here for people to take a look at what's going on from sort of a BI or reporting perspective. So if I click on this, it takes me to this new sub-site, and I've got some content on here, right? So I've got a quick little table here that shows me the number of service requests by support group. You know, that's kind of trivial. And then I've embedded an Excel workbook here that we saw earlier, which is this kind of dashboard type of experience that I created in Excel. And this is all interactive. You know, so I can go into here and let's say that Oh, I think I might have. Did I turn off? I think I might have turned off the interactivity. You can set it up so that it's either interactive or not interactive, and you know, people can just kind of come up here and take a look at a dashboard like this. Okay, now I want to show you how to create content for this performance point site. So if I go and I crack open the performance point authoring tool here, I've got my performance point content folder on the SharePoint document library. Okay, so you can see some of the content that I've created ahead of time that's up there. And I've got my data connections here. So here's the service catalog cube. I've created a connection to that, and I've created one to the work items cube. And to do that, I just go through this data source wizard and just point at the cube on the SQL server and add it in here. So I can then use that to create some more content. So if I go to my performance point content folder and I click on new analytic grid here, it gives me an option to choose which data source I want to use. So in this case, I'll use the work items cube. And that'll bring up the analytic grid designer. In this case, we'll give it a new name. Let's call it incidents by classification. And then similar to what we saw in Excel, we're just going to drag and drop some things here. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to grab the incident dim count measure. We're going to drag that and drop it in the column area here. And then we're going to grab the incident classification value here, and we're going to drag that and drop it into rows. Okay, now you can see here that we have some which are unclassified, and maybe we don't want to show those. So we can kind of go into here and we can say, all right, let's only show these particular classifications. Click OK. And that'll filter it down to only show those particular classifications. And you know, we could do some other fancy stuff, but let's just do this quickly. Let's just save this. So this is now saved out on our SharePoint document library. And we can then go into here and customize our page. So this is just standard SharePoint functionality here. And we'll choose to add a web part. And we'll go here to the performance point category. We'll choose the performance point report. Click Add. Click to open up the tool pane here. Now we're going to point to the report that we just created, the analytic grid we just created. So we click on this Browse button here. This will take us to the performance point content folder. And we can see that we've got our new incident classification item here. Now, one little tip for you, there's a bug in SharePoint. If you just click OK here, it'll actually put the wrong path in the tool pane. So grab the path from here before you click OK. I think they might have already fixed this, but anyway, you can see that it's got a different path in here now. See that? Bad. Okay, so we just paste that into here. We give it a new title called Incidents by Classification. And then we just save this. Oops. Okay, then there's our new web part. Of course, we'd want to adjust the size of it so it doesn't take up more size space than it needs, or we'd probably set it to do the auto height or something like that. But you know, the idea is that you could compose dashboards this way, right? You add in things like these analytic grids, and they have other types of widgets that you can put in here, like KPI details, and you can embed SQL Reporting Services reports in there, and you can embed Excel workbooks in there, and you can control the layout of it using the layout templates in SharePoint so that it could be sort of a more of a tile-based layout or something like that. So this really allows us to take the power of the entire Microsoft BI stack from SQL Server, analysis services, SharePoint, Performance Point, Excel, all the tools around authoring, reports and that kind of thing, all of that is available now because we are building this thing on sort of this standard dimensional model type of data warehouse and using concepts like cubes. So hopefully this gives you kind of a good idea of what some of the cool things are that you can do with reporting on top of the System Center Data Warehouse and Service Manager, and some idea of how you can extend the data warehouse to store your additional data, whether that's something that you're extending in Service Manager and want to bring over, or something where you're extending the data warehouse to store some data that you're going to bring directly into the data warehouse. So thank you guys very much for coming out today. I'll be available up here afterwards for any questions that you have. Thank you.